boot camp gets you ready to serve. Okay. And so coming home, somebody has got to get you, and it's not the military. Just so I could clear that off the table right now for all of your fans out there. It's not the military's job. Okay. It's the community's job. And it's partly your job as well. Something's got to get you ready for reintegration. Okay. We're not talking transition anymore. We're talking reintegration. That's a whole nother process. And you don't hear too many people talking about that.
Welcome to Your Story Doesn't End Here, the mental health podcast of military and veterans who refuse to be silenced. I'm your host, Rachel, and my mission with this podcast is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, bring awareness to mental health issues, provide value and solutions, and to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DoD organizations. Hey everyone, thank you so much for coming back for another episode of Your Story Doesn't End Here. Today's guest is Maurice Wilson. Maurice is a retired Master Chief Petty Officer who served in the Navy for over 25 years and is a respected figure in the field of veterans transition. He serves as the President and Executive Director at the National Veterans Transition Services Incorporated, the first Vice President of the San Diego Veterans Coalition, a founding member of the California Veterans Chamber of Commerce, and is the Regional Community Integration Coordinator for Onward Ops, a national program that connects veterans to sponsors and their community of choice after service. In 2010, Maurice co-founded the Reboot Workshop, the first ever three-week reverse boot camp in the nation, with retired Rear Admiral Ron Froman. The workshop has helped over 3,600 service-related members successfully transition to civilian life and has a 97% success rate. The University of San Diego and four doctoral students from Pepperdine University have confirmed that Reboot is effective in helping veterans. Maurice has implemented various innovative solutions to support veterans, including the establishment of Centers for Military and Veteran Reintegration, hosting weekly muster online, implementing the San Diego Transition and Integration Project, and developing the Managing Your Transition Timeline 365 app. These initiatives aim to provide services, resources, and connections for military personnel and veterans to local community organizations and employers, with the goal of reducing stress, homelessness, unemployment, underemployment, and suicide rates among veterans. Maurice's work has had a significant impact on veterans and their families, receiving recognition from various organizations. He was honored with the Champion of Change title by the White House and was included in the San Diego Business Journal's list of top 500 influential business leaders in 2016 and 2017. In 2022, he was once again recognized by the San Diego Business Journal, this time as one of the top 50 influential veterans in San Diego. In 2017, he was also awarded the title of California 39th Senate District Veteran of the Year. Maurice's unwavering commitment to supporting military personnel and veterans has made him a respected figure in the field. His accomplishments and accolades are a testament to his dedication and the positive impact he has made on the lives of veterans. Maurice, you have quite the resume. I'm so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for being here.
Rachel, I'm really glad to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to chat with you.
Absolutely. So I'm going to just let you share a little bit more about who you are, where you came from, and your background with the listeners, and then we will get into the conversation.
Oh, okay. Well, you would think that, retired Master Chief would like to talk about himself. I don't really like to talk about me, but, I'll just say that from Chicago, joined the Navy in 73 to basically get away from the city. And the Navy changed my life, for the better, obviously. And I decided to stay, for a couple of years. I didn't do 30, but I think at that point in time, I was ready for change. And I pivoted out and joined the civilian community in 1998 and started working here in San Diego at a local nonprofit called the Urban League of San Diego, which I didn't see that coming. I mean, the good thing is that I took my uniform off on a Friday and I went to work on a Monday, so I didn't miss a beat at all. But my degree is in telecommunication systems management, and so I truly expected to be in the technology field, but I ultimately ended up in the social services sector. And I've been there ever since then, and I love the work that I'm doing because it changes lives, it builds communities, and it empowers people to live to their fullest potential. And so that's my story, and I'm going to stick to it.
Awesome. So what drew you to the social services sector, especially knowing that that wasn't your plan?
Well, you know, I had volunteered. You know, I've always learned that, you know, when you volunteer, it really helps you sort of divert your thoughts from where they are, you know, to something that you like to do. And I always like helping people. And so I volunteered for the Urban League for about 2 years, helping them build their tech. You know, I wanted to bring them out of the dark ages of the Stone Age. So I helped them build their network and put computers in their labs and help people in the community get trained. And slowly but surely, I was kind of like, not confused, but caught between technology, which I like, as well as helping people, which I like. You know, when you're faced with those two, you got to choose one. And so I just, the opportunity presented itself when I was getting ready to retire. They asked me, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, you know, I'll probably go to work for some big tech company and make a lot of money. And they said, why don't you come work for us? And I said, but I'm not going to make a lot of money. Like, you guys are not going to pay me. And they said, true, but it'd be rewarding. And it was absolutely right. It was spot on. You know, it wasn't about the money. And in fact, I would say to people, when you're out there looking for that next life or your next mission, make sure that you know it's something that you want to do. And it's not always about the money. It's really about the value, you know, finding your fit and feeling like you're giving back. And so I found my next mission. It guided me to where I'm at. And every step along the way led me to discover more secrets of success in terms of helping others. And now here I am today, still giving back. I don't feel like I work at all. In fact, I don't work a day. You know, I just serve and it feels good.
That's incredible. And that's such an important point that you made about loving what you do. And it's about the impact. It's not about the money. Cause I think that so many service members, when they're active duty, one of those fears in the back of, I think, every one of our brains when we're serving is, oh, what am I going to do for money? How much money am I going to make when I get out of the military? And that money piece is such a forefront deciding factor for so many people that I think often people forget about what is it that I love to do or what is the impact. And so I think it's incredible that you chose that rather than chasing the money and ended up finding something that really just sets your soul on fire. So speaking of that transition piece, is your story and what you decided to do pursuing something you loved, was that a huge deciding factor in Reboot and getting that going to help other people transition? Or what was that deciding factor, if not?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. And I think it was a series of things, you know, one led to the next, and, you know, it's somehow destiny guides you to your best place. And I followed my instincts, and, you know, sometimes you want to follow your instincts. And my instincts told me, well, go ahead and do this, you know, work for the Urban League. No, it's not a lot of money, but you'll never know where it'll lead you. And so I started following, I guess you could say, the vision that somebody else had. And one thing just led to the next. And, you know, opportunity is a funny thing. When I first started working for the Urban League, again, I was there just to really help build their technology. You know, that was my thing. So for me, it was the best of both worlds. However, you know, there's this thing that people don't, transitioning military, are not fully aware of called the hidden job market. And the hidden job market is that place where jobs are never advertised. It's where people are getting promoted from within. So roughly 70%, and I'll just say this to your audience, 70% of the good jobs are never advertised. They're all internal promotions. And so just being there at the Urban League, a few people left and it presented an opportunity. And someone asked me, hey, our director for workforce development just left. Do you want the job? What am I going to say? Of course. And so that led to something else, which introduced me to the foundational education for the Reboot workshop that we're still using today. And interestingly, the education was developed by the Pacific Institute out of Seattle, Washington. And back in 2000, I was able to come up there and go through some of the training and really get the insight into how to help people transform themselves and realize their potential. And so for about 10 years, I was able to utilize that knowledge and build my expertise and then master the craft until 2009, where, you know, we always have shifts in our life. You know, every 10 years, hey, I want to do something different. So after 10 years working with the Urban League, I decided, well, it's time for me to move on. So I had experience on running a nonprofit, but now it was sort of like finding, so what's the one thing that really excites you? You know, what's your next mission in life? What's your vision? You know, what is it that you want to do? And so being a veteran, and also I was a member of the, and I'm still a member of the Call of Duty Endowment. And what we do at the Call of Duty Endowment is we vet out veteran organizations across the country who are serving veterans, and we award them money. And over the years, and I've been a member of the endowment since its inception, we've given away millions of dollars to lots and lots of organizations. But in that process, I had a chance to travel around the country and see who's doing what, and then really discover what we call a lot of gaps. And one of the big gaps was the whole transition from military to civilian life, that no one had really solved that equation, which is helping individuals reprogram their mindset, their military mind, from military to civilian. Well, hello, 10 years at the Urban League, I learned how through this education that I was teaching, and I field tested it in multiple applications inside a state prison with gang members, disinfect, you know, I tested it on just multiple populations, and it worked. And so at that 10-year mark, it just made a lot of sense. Well, hey, why not just pivot over and bring this knowledge and this experience and this information to the veteran community who need it? Because, hello, there's a gap. There's a need. There's a transition. And so here I am today.
Incredible. So I got to ask, there's obviously tons of nonprofits out there that are tackling that transition piece, helping people find jobs, helping people figure out their passion after. What sets aside what Reboot is and what you're doing with, you know, really everything, right, to help that transition process from all those other nonprofits?
That's a really, really good question. And so we are the only reverse boot camp on the planet. And I can honestly say that because I've been working with other countries, Japan, Israel, Russia, you know, Georgia. We work with a lot of people over in Canada. No one has reverse engineered military boot camp. And so if you kind of take a step back and look at how effective military to civilian or civilian to military boot camp is, it's highly effective. And no one other than us has been able to reverse engineer it and create a similar impact. So it's sort of like, what's the missing link for everyone coming in the military? Well, a reintegration, a culture reset, a redefinition of how our consciousness, you know, what we do is we help people rebuild their identity or create a new identity, find their purpose and passion. This is all subconscious, and then rebuild their, what we call their career decision self-efficacy. And all of the science basically says that of all the struggles that veterans have with transitioning service members, those are some of the biggest ones, if you will. And right at the top of the chart, obviously, it's finding your new identity. 41% have a hard time changing from how they see life through the military lens to civilian life. And so up until this point, everyone else has been more or less on the clinical side of responding. We have always been on the what we call the cognitive behavioral training, which is still going back to ground zero. I've been doing this now since 2000. I'm actually doing the same thing I've been doing for 20 something years, and it works. And the interesting thing about the education is that it's used in, I think 24 different countries. It's taught in 8 different languages. It's well documented, highly effective, validated, the whole nine yards. So we're right now the only ones, like I said, on the planet that offers a 3-week reverse boot camp.
So talk us through what this looks like, because I know you have a type of model that starts 2 years before separation from the military. And maybe that's different than this boot camp that you're talking about. But talk us through what the 3 week really looks like.
So you're absolutely right. And so the 3 week reverse boot camp is part of a process, just like the whole TAP program. And again, to your audience, TAP is not a one-time thing. TAP is a process over time, and it has multiple phases to it. Most people get this wrong. Most people think, oh, it's just this one time I just go to this class and that's it. I'm sorry to tell you that's not true. Okay, the moment you decide, or it's decided that you're going to leave the military, that's when the clock starts then. And there are several prescribed processes, we call it phases, that you have to go through as you're transitioning out and reintegrating in. Now, think about when you joined the military. Did they just tell you, oh, look here, just put on a uniform and that's it?
No.
No, no. You had to go through boot camp. And what happened to you during boot camp? You know, it's sort of like the whole baseline for your behavior, how you act. And in fact, what we tell people is this. Boot camp does a whole lot of things, but I'll try to narrow it down to three things you get from boot camp that you didn't have prior to coming to boot camp. The first thing you get is a new identity. You're not the same person anymore. Okay, you're reprogrammed at a subconscious level. That's one. Number two, you get a mission in life, and it's not yours. Okay. Oh no, by the way, everything that I'm telling you, these are all external. They're not something that you own. They're something that you're buying into and you're following and you're leading, and you're saying, okay, I'll do it. So you're given an identity, told how to act, behave, eat, sleep, do the whole nine yards. And number two, you're basically told what your mission is, okay, all right, to serve, you know, whatever your branch of service. And then finally, you're given your specific occupation, whatever that is, based upon the agreement in the military. One, two, three. So within a short lifespan, within about, let's say, 6 months, your life is transformed. You're no longer the same person. And so that's like a complete reset, which means once that's done, then you're able to serve. From that point forward, you check into your first duty station, you serve, you go on your CSOR, you know, your rotation, PCS here, there, whatever. And then after several cycles, you come out. It's pretty straightforward. So when we did, when we conceived the reverse boot camp, we looked at the three major things that have to happen. Step number one, you have to change your mindset, how you see things, how you expect things. We call it habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations. Things no longer work. The reality is different. And oh, by the way, a lot of people get out of the military and they experience cognitive dissonance. And what's happening there is that the inside picture of how they've been programmed to behave and see things no longer looks the same on the outside. And so their brain on a subconscious level cannot reconcile that. And so it starts going into what we call the spiral. Okay. It starts seeking answers and solutions. Now, you know already, Rachel, when you ask transitioning service members and veterans, what do you want to do when you get out? Okay. What's your next mission? Rachel, what is the answer that you always get?
You know, most people, I would say, are going to go to school, use their GI Bill, or they have some kind of job lined up in the same field as what they're in. And that's me coming as an AT, because most people just go work for Boeing or something when they get out. But a lot of people, or they join the reserves too, so they can stay in that community. But those are the answers that I hear a lot.
So what I hear a lot, and I'm TAP, I guess you could say I'm in the TAP epicenter. When I ask that question, most people can't really tell you what they want to do. If they say, well, I'm just going to go to school and do what? Well, I'm just going to go to school. Okay, for what? What's your vision for the future? Well, I haven't figured that out yet, but I think I'll just get a job. Well, that's not a plan. Okay, that's kind of like you're scrambling.
Okay? Well, I'll also say too that a lot of the attitudes, at least in the community that I came from when I was serving active duty, a lot of times people are told still, because you're in the military, all these employers are going to be jumping on the opportunity to hire you. All you have to do is create a LinkedIn profile, and all of a sudden, all these job offers are going to come rolling in. I can attest to the fact that that is not true, because I tried it and I did not have a bunch of job offers rolling in. Yeah. So yeah, I think that there's this expectation for a lot of people that are separating that, oh, well, because I have this certain set of skills in a job that as long as I throw something on the internet, i.e. on LinkedIn, all these jobs are going to want to work with me. And so, yeah, it's interesting.
It doesn't work like that. It never has worked like that. And so we teach the reality of the situation that you have to do a couple of things. Now, coming at this is where that process comes in, because it takes some time. The first thing you got to do as you're pivoting out is you have to begin to navigate and manage your transition. So that's kind of like the first phase right there. The second thing is you got to figure out what your career DNA is going to be. And the statistics are pretty straightforward. Right now, 86% of all transition service members want to have a complete career change. Okay, they don't want to do the same thing that they did while they're military. But when you ask the question, okay, we get it. You want to have a complete career change. What's the answer? Well, I haven't figured that out yet. Okay, so then you get into the resume, which is, okay, well, if you want to have a career change and you don't know what that is, then why are you working on a resume? Because the resume is a reflection of what you did, okay? But you've already said that I don't want to do that anymore. And so the consequences of that, and again, one of the bad habits that I have is I follow the data. I just read all the studies and the reports. And so some of the end results of that, and I don't know if you know this or not, first and foremost, you know what the veteran unemployment rate is today?
I do not.
2.5%. And so, on one note, yeah, employers are really looking to hire veterans. I mean, they're motivated and fired up. But the caveat is you got to be eligible, capable, qualified, experienced, you know, all the things that goes along with regular employment. You got to meet all the requirements. So to your point, Rachel, they're not going to just give you a job just because.
Right.
You got to be eligible for it. You got to work for it. You got to, obviously, you got to compete for it. You know, that's the interview, the whole nine yards. So what we do is kind of go back to square one and says, okay, let's kind of first and foremost get it right. First, figure out what you want to do. Now, again, we're still talking upstream before you get out. And why do you want to do this way upstream? Because obviously most people want to have a complete career change, which means that you're going to have to upskill and rescale. Okay. And you need that time to start doing it. And at the same time, and here's another, you know, oh, by the way, factor, even though you may do the upskilling and rescaling, if you don't get some time in for experience on the job experience, a lot of employers could still turn you down. And we see that happening a whole lot. So again, the lessons along the way. Now, notice I haven't talked about Rebo yet, because I'm actually talking about, these are some things you got, and this is the lessons that we learned. So in the veteran space for the last 13 years, that's all we did was studied everything, you know, successes and failures. Okay, what's the data? What are the trends? You know, what should the person do? And again, as time went on, we began to see really clearly it's the process. And you need that kind of time to prepare, to get ready. And even, you know, part of the success, which is one of the things that I guess you could say I inadvertently did and it worked out, was 2 years before I got out, I volunteered. Because again, you got to get your experience on what's it like being out there. You can't just walk off the base today and boom, you're in a community and you expect everybody to like, it just doesn't work like that. Everything, there's something that we teach in the Reba workshop. It's called the law of gestation. And, you know, basically saying that some things just take time. Okay. You got to bake it. So each one of the weeks focuses on resolving some known issues. And, you know, we don't really like to call them issues. We just call them opportunities for change. So the first week of Reboot focuses on changing your identity. Now, we can't make you change your identity. Nobody can make you do anything. You have to do it. So in the first week, we show you how. And we walk you through the process. The workshop is comprised of 25 individuals. And it's a different kind of learning environment. We call it the generative learning environment, where I'm just a facilitator. I'm a guide. And I'm introducing topics. The real teachers and instructors are every student in there, because you're an adult. Adults only learn what they want to learn. They don't want to learn. They're just going to, you can't teach me nothing. And so that's how we do it. And so again, everybody comes to that realization. And again, I'm, as you pointed out in my bio, I'm proud to say that we have a 97-98% success rate with Reboot, because again, it's not me, it's you. You're the one that's learning. I'm just introducing the topics. And so we have some major epiphanies. Usually by the third day, you can see, you know, awareness kicking in. Oh, I didn't know that. Because, you know, we only use science. Everything that we do is just pure science, well proven. And that's that first week, which is you got to get your identity. Who are you? What do you want to be? You know, you got to learn to kind of reframe your thought patterns and let some things go and manage what you expect, if you will, because that gets you ready for the second week. And the second week is about finding your purpose and passion. We call it finding your next mission. You have to find the mission. Now, in this particular scenario, the mission belongs to you, which is kind of like your vision versus the military's mission. Okay, you're not doing an extra, it's internal. And so a lot of soul searching, a lot of self-discovery. And when we say self-discovery, we're talking about going all the way back to your birth, all the way up to the present moment, and then reconciling with that, and then finding out about your current beliefs and expectations. And then we push you even further into the future. But again, you have to do it. This is all a journey where the person sees it on the inside, and people who see it and own it, then they'll take it with them and move forward. That's like the second week, which is, you know, a lot of purging. You know, you got to reconcile with new thoughts and new realities, the whole nine yards. And then in the third week, we call that the rebuilding phase or the vocational side, which is starting off with, okay, let's talk about what's next. You know, your career DNA, you know, what are you gifted for? You know, most people, when they do assessments, they only do maybe the my next move assessment. But, you know, you're more than that. You know, there's your style, your personality, there's your strengths. The list goes on and on. And so it's such a multidimensional thing. You got to find what is your new product line. Because at that point, you are the product. You know, you're the one selling. You're the business. You're selling yourself to the employer. But if you don't know who and what it is you got, what you want to do, if you can't articulate it, the employers are going to kind of look at you like, okay, well, if you don't know, why should I hire you? And so everything is done, again, internally. We just show people how. And what an amazing discovery. I mean, it just kind of, every workshop, there are tears of joy, there's realization, there are families coming back together again. There are people that are reconciling with some of their internal anger. And again, you know, some people are mad at the military. Well, they didn't treat me right. Well, you know, nobody promised you they were going to treat you right. So, you know, it's a really big eye opener. And that kind of gets them ready for some of the next phases. So we don't, now here's what we learned over the years. We don't just stop there. Okay. It's just like boot camp gets you ready to serve. Okay. And so coming home, somebody has got to get you, and it's not the military. Just so I could clear that off the table right now for all of your fans out there. It's not the military's job. Okay. It's the community's job. And it's partly your job as well. Something's got to get you ready for reintegration. Okay. We're not talking transition anymore. We're talking reintegration. That's a whole nother process. And you don't hear too many people talking about that.
So where does this workshop fall on that line of getting people transitioned and reintegrated? Are they still active duty while you are doing this workshop?
So mostly I would say about 90% of the people that go through the workshop have somewhere about, we do everybody. So let me clear the air. Reboot is for everybody. It doesn't matter where you are on what we call the continuum. Whether it's you're in the military, you got 2 years to get out, or if you've been out for 40 years, it doesn't matter where you are in a continuum. You still got to reboot, if you will. But ideally, to make your transition smooth, we recommend at least a year prior to separation. Because again, you got to shift your thinking, and then you got to start thinking about the future. You can't wait until 6 months because you're still turning your life around. You definitely can't wait for 3 months because you don't have any time to do anything because you're in stress mode. At that particular point in time, if you don't know what it is you want to do by 3 months, okay, I don't want to say you're in deep caca, but you got issues.
It is hard. I think that last little bit of time, and it really does fly by, and it's a lot of people wait till the last minute. I'll say that.
And that's why we developed the Managing Your Transition Timeline app. Because we saw all of this. You know, we were watching people come in. Again, we processed thousands of people, and we look at their stories and, okay, why are you just not doing it right now? Why didn't you start way back in? Well, because I was really busy, you know. So again, we looked at that and said, okay, we need a solution. So a couple of years ago, we developed the Managing Your Transition Timeline app, which took the pressure or the burden off of people to manage it themselves. And what it does, like a personal transition assistant. And it just reminds you, hey, you got X number of days, and every 10 days, it'll remind you of, you know, what's on the timeline, what you got going on. And so we learned that that's not enough alone. Then we started assigning people what we call civilian transition assistant advisors. Okay, because again, now let me say that the person has to do all the work, okay? You have to do all the work, but somebody's got to remind you to stay on top of it, okay? You know, keep that cadence going, you know, keep it all up. And so the app pretty much helps do that, but having a transition assistant advisor to kind of call you up every so often, hey, I noticed that you've kind of fallen behind. Hey, is there anything I can do? You know, we all need a little motivation from time to time. And then finally, we just loaded up a couple of days ago, we just added a artificial intelligence assistant, an AI assistant, to even answer more questions. Because, you know, obviously you got a lot of questions, and, you know, either you can get your answers quickly, or you can wait until whenever. We found that by adding AI in, says we can solve a whole lot of things. So we just took all the lessons learned, all the obstacles, all the issues that people commonly face, and we found an answer to it that says, we see what's going to happen to you. Here's the response to that. If you're a stimulus, response.
So when someone signs up on this app, and I'm assuming any service member can sign up on this app,
because anywhere, anytime, yes.
Awesome. Fun. And then is that person just assigned through that app for the advisor, or is that a separate process?
So we do it through the app. So as soon as a person signs up, we see it, and then we sign them up to with an advisor. And so we've been recruiting veterans that work for different companies like Accenture, Deloitte, or other community members, or you could have a team of people there that could be community transition assistant advisors. Again, the whole goal here is you got to start building your network off base, okay? And it's got to be localized where you're getting ready to go. That's the ideal situation, which is if I'm getting out and I'm coming to Whidbey Island, then Whidbey Island is my new command, so to speak. And so I need to connect with my community or my command early on. I need to go through sort of like a PCS change. I need to have a sponsor. You know, all the things we do when we PCS from one installation to the next, you still got to do it when you do your final and you go to your civilian community.
I love that. And so talk to us about the CMVR model, the buildings and what they are.
So one thing after the next, so after we figured out the boot camp part, and then we figured out the managing your transition part, then we started looking at some other things. And, you know, each time we solved an equation, a problem, or closed a gap, then we saw something else, which was, all right, look, we got this thing down. We're successful with Reboot. Folks are getting it. But now who are we handing off to? And then we discovered a lot of the communities across the country are not ready to now we get into reintegration. They're not ready for reintegration because no one's shared the data with them. There's no warm handoff. There's no process. I mean, it's not that there aren't organizations there trying to help, but they're not coordinated. They're not plugged into the current data, the whole nine yards. So we looked at that it was almost instantaneous. Okay, we need to help build CMVR, Centers for Military and Veteran Reintegration. And then we get sort of like a boost back in 2017 when Congressman Mike Levin started working on some legislation to establish what they call the Navy SEAL Chief Petty Officer William Modure Transition Improvement Act. And Chief Petty Officer Modure, Navy SEAL, got out and committed suicide. And again, the whole issue is didn't have a good reintegration, like so many people. So now when you start looking at it, there's the transition that people complain about, but then there's the reintegration. And we tell people, don't mix the two. They're completely different. Your transition out, well, that's one group. That's the military. That's the government. But your reintegration, that's your community. And so, again, we found that a lot of communities weren't ready. Cities weren't ready. You know, they were dealing with suicides. They were dealing with homelessness. They weren't really getting ahead of the problem. So, again, we had already started the CMVR project back in 2016. But in 17 and 18, we really got a boost in 19. And then we started really gaining momentum. And we started developing a blueprint for community implementation. And so now we have a team of specialists that can actually come to any community, any city, and show you how. You know, all the, and again, it includes all the lessons learned on how to reintegrate veterans and their families into the community. So now we're working with a couple of cities here, city mayors. We have a partnership with Downey. We're signing a partnership agreement with the city of Chula Vista. In fact, we've been meeting with them on and on. We're helping them build a veteran reintegration welcome home package. We got the a veteran reintegration policy. I mean, it was really taken off there, creating the warm handoff, involving and incorporating all the community partners that we call stakeholders. That includes chambers. So again, everything is, and what we're seeking to do is to replicate the military process. Just like when you come in, you know, when you go from boot camp to your C school, to your first command, and then on, it's a guided tour. Every step of the way, somebody's got you every step of the way. Well, we're now creating that same journey back home, but it requires us to go in and then help cities build up. And so now we're getting ready to meet later on. And in fact, about 2 days before I come up to hang out with you guys, we'll be giving a presentation to the city of San Diego mayor and his Veteran Advisory Council to really get them on board to build a veteran reintegration policy. And in Sacramento and in San Francisco. So it's kind of getting out there, but we're getting really good at, okay, here's the blueprint. Here's how you do it. There's a little bit of community organizing. There's leveraging. We follow what we call the collective impact model from Stanford, the Stanford Social Innovation Group, if you will, the five conditions of the social impact model. But we also follow another research project from the Altarum Institute called the VCAT model, which stands for Community Action Teams. And what that is sort of going from silos to integrated models. Everybody in the region has to work as an integrated team. So now the real hard work begins, which is getting all of the nonprofits, who are all separate individuals, to now work, not just collaborate and coordinate, integrate their services. And so we all have one customer, we all serve that one customer. As opposed to right now, most organizations, I got this one customer, and I'm their only service provider. We all become the service provider.
That is incredible. I get so excited every time I hear about the work that you've done, because I know you're coming up to Whidbey Island. So if anyone's listening and you're in Washington State in general, actually, there's a few people that are coming in from out of state too. But on the 30th of September, 2023, Vic and Maurice are going to be coming up and giving a keynote about the CMVR model. And if you know Whidbey Island at all, it's a community that could use something like this. And there's definitely a need for it. So I'm so excited to hear more about that when you come up here and present in Oak Harbor. Have you tried this blueprint in any other areas outside of Southern California? Or if not, what's the vision?
So we've tried it, done it a couple of places. We've done it in Michigan. We started, oh my goodness, way back in 2015 with Altarum. Actually, we even started sooner with Altarum. So we've been partners with all these organizations for many, many years. So with the Institute, Pacific Institute, we've been partners for 20 something years. With the Altarum Institute, we've actually been in on that groundbreaking project since 2011. And then we first started out with three sister cities, San Diego, San Antonio, and Washington, Detroit, excuse me, and Detroit, Michigan. In fact, we went up to Detroit and did a couple of workshops up there working with the Department of Veteran Affairs. So we've been working and crafting, you know, what does it look like? And then we also are partnered with Norfolk, Virginia. We went out there, partnered up with Tidewater Community College. And now we're working with Quantico, Virginia, right outside the back gate. There's a group there called the Cyber Hub. So we're building that model there. And obviously, you know, California, we had to kind of get things together. And so partnering up with Downey, Sacramento, and San Francisco. So again, we've been taking the model, you know, really observing. You know, it's all about lessons learned. You know, what did you do the first time that was successful? What did you do that didn't work? And then you learn from that and say, hey, we're not going to do that again at that place. And each time we've rewritten the process of the procedures. So again, for us, is ultimately we're going to produce a desktop procedures manual that just shows you how to. And so we got a great team of people. Many of them are former Boeing employees that were part of the quality teams that have won many awards for Boeing. And so we're bringing all that expertise to the table. So there's community organizing, but you got to have a plan. You know, you got to have a vision. You know, there's so many moving parts right here. But again, you got to get your city involved. You got to get your counties involved. You got to get your state involved. And so again, it's a huge undertaking. And, you know, it just requires that. What's that old African proverb? It takes a village.
Absolutely.
This is a village project there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned earlier something about international. Is the vision to go international with this?
Well, you know, we've been asked. In fact, a couple of years ago, I was actually supposed to go to Georgia, Russia to present it and show them how. You know, again, you know, these are like international competitions and things like that. So we didn't win the international competition at that particular point, but we were geared up, ready to go over and help them with that. We were geared up, ready to go help over in Japan. And so we haven't gone international yet, even though we've had several visits from a lot of people that have come through to see what we're doing.
That is incredible. And I think what you're doing is so impactful because it is a collaborative effort. And it's not just, I hear this from a lot of veterans, oh, another veteran nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Another one. What's that one going to do for me? And so it's really a breath of fresh air to hear of an organization that is saying, hey, let's collaborate. We have a singular mission. Let's help people. And what I love about the transition and reintegration focus is it impacts mental health so much because we talk about veteran homelessness and veteran suicide and even active duty, you know, people that stay in a job in the military that maybe they don't love or isn't serving them anymore because they are afraid of that transition process or the reintegration process, or maybe they just don't have clarity on their next step in life. And so I would love to see, hopefully they do studies on this in the future at some point, how just focusing on reintegration and the transition process and supporting that affects the mental health of service members, because I truly think that that is such a solution-oriented piece that covers all these little blips that we've been trying to one by one fix for so many years. And when no one can figure out, why can't we just tackle this one thing? Well, because it's connected to the other thing, which is connected to the other thing. So love what you are doing. If someone wanted to reach out to you to look at establishing something like this in their community or on the other side, if a service member wanted to get going with one of the programs that you have available, maybe Reboot, what is the best way for people to get in contact with you or your team?
Well, for an individual that wants to get in and use these services and they're on active duty, I would say just go to www.mytt365.online, period. As soon as you sign up, we'll see you, and then we'll begin the process there. As far as communities that want to implement something like that there, contact me directly at maurice@nvtsi.org. And let me just say, as far as with reference to the research, Rachel, it's already been done. There have been several studies done on reintegration over the years. And so where I'm at is I don't do new studies. I just take the old studies and take action. Because, you know, we can do report after report and study after study after study and not get a doggone thing done.
Right.
Versus, okay, so you got the Henry Jackson Foundation. They did the metric, the Veterans Metrics Initiative. UCSD, they've did the State of the American Veteran report over and over again. I mean, oh, Rachel, there are dozens of reports out there that basically says community reintegration. Again, I mentioned the Altarum Institute. That report says it. We got the resource. We got the research. The studies are done. Now we're into implementation straight up. That's action. Where we need to go. We got
taking
this
action.
This is all about taking action. No more waiting. No more. We don't have to study it anymore. We don't have to do another survey and ask veterans and their families, tell us how you feel about your transition. We already know. Let's get busy.
That's incredible. It's just one of those things that isn't really mainstream talked about like that. And I have an idea of why it's not mainstream talked about, but you know, it's good to know that the research, everything's already out there. It's refreshing to know that you have been testing and tweaking and fixing and perfecting and streamlining things over the last few years and for quite a long time, it sounds like. And I think that, again, this is something that is so very much needed and is going to change the entire culture of military and veterans and families for generations to come. So I applaud you and I applaud your team for the work that you're doing, because it is absolutely incredible. And it really is that one of the pieces that is going to absolutely change people's lives. So thank you for the work that you do. Maurice, you said where people can find you, and I appreciate that. I will make sure to put that in the show notes for anyone that wants to check out either the services or look at implementing something like this into their community. The last thing I'm going to ask you is if there is any last words or pieces of advice that you want to leave the audience with, and we will wrap up with that.
Well, you know, I'll just leave everyone with, hey, come see us on the 30th and connect with us and hear firsthand what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen in today. With your support, we are able to increase awareness of the mental health issues affecting service members and veterans today, with the goal of creating positive change. If you got value from this episode, please take 30 seconds to subscribe and share this episode within your own network. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your mental health matters, and your story doesn't end here.